ever-shining, 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 ever-shining. Jesus is ever-shining, ever-shining. He's ever-shining. Oh, he's ever-shining. He's ever-shining, 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 ever-shining. Oh, Jesus, Angu, Anu, Pe. Ano penya, ano penya, ano, ano penya, ano, ni ano penya, ano penya, ano penya, ano penya, ano. Jesu wango anope anope nya anope die anope nya anope oh anope nya anope nya anope nya oh, Jesus is ever shining, ever shine. Jesus is ever shining, ever shine. He's ever,
ever shine.
Oh, he's ever shining, ever shining,
ever shining.
You this morning, saints. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be back in the church this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this morning of that represents so much to us, Lord, the morning of the resurrection. We bless your name, for Lord, oh God, you rose once again and you defeated, Lord, our greatest enemy. And today, Lord, we have hope. We can live because you live. We bless your holy name. Now bless us now, even as we open these scriptures to look into them, Lord. We pray that there would be something in there that you teach us, Lord, and that we can use for help in the time of need. We commit the saints that are on the way. Be with them, Lord, oh God. Keep them safe, Lord, and bring them safely into thine house as we commit this Sunday school into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That, Father, you may give me strength and encouragement even at this time, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let us open in the Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 27. Psalms 27, from verse number 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I would like also to read in the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, the Lamentations of Jeremiah, verse number 16. Lamentations 1, verse 16. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. Lord, we thank you for your word. May it instruct us this morning and help us to look into this, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. I would like to speak on a topic that it's probably just a continuation of the topic that I did the last time I was here doing Sunday school. I think I was talking about dealing with depression, and the main aim at that time was to try and help us as parents to be very watchful for our children, because they go through some things, and maybe if we are not careful, we can let them go on in difficult situations that could affect them. And towards the end of that, the last Sunday school class I did on that series, I mentioned something about reparenting and how we have to reparent even one another among ourselves because of these kind of issues. So I would like to just pick it up from there this morning and prepare perhaps a background today to just show how we, even as adults, we have gone through things in our childhood that sometimes, if they are not dealt with carefully, they carry on into adulthood. We carry them with us, and these things can affect maybe how we perceive things and how we relate with others in relationships, and especially in marriage. And so I would like this morning, where we read in the book of Psalms, it seems to be a very, very strange thing that David could speak to the Lord and say, when my mother and my father forsake me. You know, you would think that a mother or a father would never forsake a child, but we find that that happens in this life. Now, it's a very strange thing among us believers, because it's unheard of and something that is, we never can even imagine a person doing that. But it does happen that a father or a mother can forsake their own child. In fact, I think it's in the book of Isaiah 49, where the Lord says, though a mother may forget her child, I will never forget my child. Amen. So it happens that way, that we can go through some forsaking from our parents, whether intentional or not intentional, you know, and that can cause us to have scars, emotional scars. And these can affect us, how we relate with others later on in life. Every person that is sitting here today, every person that was ever born of a woman in this world, has had to suffer some emotional scars during their childhood. You know, nobody escapes childhood without some form of a scar. You know, for some people, maybe even more than others, but we all carry something that we picked up from when we were young. You know, in the book of Lamentations, where we read the Lamentations of Jeremiah, he says, for these things I weep. He was crying. He says, mine eye runneth down with water. Why was Jeremiah crying? He says, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. So something had happened to Jeremiah here, and it had caused him some discomfort. And when he was in a discomfort area, he needed someone to come and comfort him and bring him back to a place where he was comfortable. But when he looked for this comforter, the comforter was far from him. Thus, Jeremiah cried because he needed this comforter. Now, the choice of word that was used in this verse by Jeremiah is very, very revealing, because he says, the comforter that should relieve my soul. And the word relieve, we use it a lot of times and we know what it means. It could possibly be a bottle that is under so much pressure that if we don't relieve the pressure, it could actually burst. Or maybe it could be somebody who's in so much pain, and if we don't give them a painkiller to relieve the pain, it could really, maybe they could collapse or something like that. So relieve, it speaks here, I don't think so, that Jeremiah was in a physically constraining place. I think that there was something happening more in the emotional realm that had put him under such discomfort, and he needed a comforter that could come and open a valve to relieve the pressure that Jeremiah was under. Now, the thing with pressure, if pressure builds up due to whatever circumstance and it is not relieved, it can deform whatever container that contains that pressure. So we find that when he needed this comforter, the comforter was not there. And that's what usually happens when we are young. When we were young, because I'm not talking about the children today, but us adults, that when we were young, there could have been some situations that we went through that put us under some emotional stress, and we needed a comforter, and the comforter was not there to relieve that pressure. And these things get buried in our subconscious, and they begin to shape how we relate with others, how we perceive things. When people say comments, or maybe people do things a certain way because of the experiences that we had when we were children that were maybe not properly dealt with, that the comforter was not there to make sense of this situation, then it affects how we carry it with us into adulthood and affects us. So it so happens that none of us can escape this kind of scarring that we pick up from childhood. And when that happens and you grow up with such things like that, and you also meet somebody that has got such things like that that they are carrying, and you put those two people together in a marriage, you can imagine what a victory lap the devil has running around saying, I've got them now set up. Then the pressure of raising children come, you know, and these things become a problem because maybe of what we went through. Now, in the case of a child that needs a comforter, like Jeremiah saying here, that the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me, there could be many reasons why the comforter is not there. And I want to make that clear, because there are different reasons why you might not find your comforter when you need your comforter. The main reason, obviously, is bad parenting choices. That maybe parents could make choices for their children that are not good for the children. You know, you could make some very bad parenting choices that could affect your children and cause some emotional scarring in them that they later on carry into childhood. But perhaps it may not be bad parenting choices. It could be something that happens while the child is in school. Or maybe they're out there with their friends and things can happen there that the parent is not aware of that could cause some emotional distress in the child. And if that is not dealt with correctly, this child could carry scars with them into adulthood, such as bullying from your peers, or now in these days you've got this platform of the internet. And there's a lot that happens there that could cause these kind of things among children. It could be even among siblings, and there's misunderstandings that happen among siblings, and it could cause some scarring to happen to these to children. Or perhaps even traumatic life events that can happen within a family. And then the adults are busy trying to deal with this event, and the children are left to deal with it to themselves, you know? And we forget that they need more than just food and shelter. They need to be ministered to in their spiritual and emotional realm as well. And we are busy dealing with these things, and then the children feel abandoned. Now, whatever the reason might be that the comforter is not there when he is needed, none of us escapes this. We all pick up something, some to a small extent, others to a greater extent, and if it is not dealt with, it can affect how we relate with others, how we perceive things. Now, to show this, I would like to use a few examples today that we pick up from the message and from the Bible, just to show that these things happen. And whether it's bad parenting choices or not, they do happen to everybody. And the reason why I would like to do this is because you've got to look into your own life and accept that you've got something that maybe could affect the way you perceive things today. Because if you don't, you can never get help. As long as you think, well, I was raised perfect by angels, and I'm still an angel today, you could make hell on earth for the people that are around you. So if somebody is sick, they've got to acknowledge that and then go to a doctor and say, I've got this sickness, I've got these symptoms, and I need some help. So that's why I would like to use these examples today, just to show that this can happen to anybody, even a person with well-meaning parents. Parents who busy themselves over their children, they're involved in everything, but you can still pick up scars that can later on affect you in life. Because we want to see how we can carry that into adulthood, and later then in the third week see how we can deal with these things that came up, that you would come up under pressure in the when we are adults, things that we picked up from our childhood. So the first one that I would like to speak about, the first three, are very quick ones that we find from the message. And the prophet speaks about the woman at the well. You know what condition this woman was. She had some issues with her, and she met with Jesus there, and he speaks to her and says, go call your husband. And she had had six husbands. The one that she was living with at that time was not her husband, which really is something that we don't normally do among us. So the prophet speaks about this lady, and he says, I don't know. A poor child was, maybe. So he's saying she could have grown up as a poor child. And that could have affected her in such a way that she was doing what she was doing today. So he says, poor child was, maybe, by bad parents, let out on the street and she become a prostitute. So the prophet is linking here that whatever condition this woman was, we don't know what led her to that, but he's linking it to say that perhaps she grew up poor and she had bad parents that let her go out there and run around on the streets, and who knows what happened there until she came to this condition that she could not keep her husband and she kept on taking other people's husbands. So we can see from there that things can happen from childhood that can affect the choices that you make up later on in your life. Another example here from the message, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a line of discernment. And people have come to him because they are sick. There's something wrong with them. They know there's something wrong. They need help. And the prophet is speaking to these people. And in this under discernment, he says, you have had trouble too. It causes you when you're lying down a fluttering sensation, nauseous. Then sometime I see you get to a place where you have to hold to something like that. Feels like it's just coming out, your heart. Ever since you have been a boy, you have been a little nervous. Two, you were scared once when you were a boy by a dog. And when that caused you to be nervous all your life. Now, this man was nervous all his life. And the Lord, under discernment, could pick exactly when it happened. That he was scared by a dog when he was a little boy. And from that time onwards, he has been nervous all his life. So when this boy was scared by a dog, he needed a comforter to come to him at that time and make sense of this scaring of this dog. If it had been dealt with at that stage, this nervousness would never have hit him later on in life like this. Now, I don't know what happened to you and to me, but I do know that we have that same comforter that can come and make sense of the things that happened to us in our lives before so that it can be dealt with the right way and we can move on in the life that we are living in now. And you'll be surprised how many people under discernment were affected this way. In 1956, he speaks to another woman. I think a woman, or a man. Now, he says, the very thing that's here, that knows your life. So the prophet is saying to this person, God is here. He knows your life. Yeah? He says, I see it go way back to a little girl. So he's saying, I'm seeing God revealing your life way back to when you were a little girl. I see you as a little girl. You were running from something. It was something chasing you. It was a dog. It seemed like you were coming from school or somewhere way long ago. It scared you. You have been nervous like that all your life. That is true. So imagine God diagnosing the nervousness of this woman later in life, bringing it back to where it actually started. She experienced something that scared her in life. Maybe she had good parents who we don't know. But they were not there at that time to deal with this issue of how she got scared. And she picked up this nervousness from that time until it manifested later on in life. It must have been hard for her to come into the prayer line just because she was nervous. It was affecting her daily choices and decisions that she was making. Another one, you are suffering with a nervous condition. You have had it since a little boy. Since you was a kiddie in school, you get real scared one time somewhere. It was a dog or something that crossed your path. So this man was just walking. The dog didn't chase him. The dog just crossed his path in a way that scared him. And then he picked up nervousness from that time on. That's been many years ago, that's right. And he speaks about something else to this man that affected him as well. Reading your book in school, you held them close to you because you are nearsighted. So imagine this child telling his parents, I can't see properly the books, and the parents not believing the child. It affected him later on in life. And he goes to school now, and he said, you read your book too close. And they would push it away and say, you are looking too close, put it away. Instead of trying to help this child with what problem he has, they would say, push the book away, you are putting it too close. He says, it's been pushed back by your teacher. And it affected this child later on in life, to the point he has to come before the prophet to find out, what's wrong with me? It was the teacher in the school. So you could be a well-meaning parent, and your child is a teacher maybe that is not dealing with issues correctly in the classroom, and it affects your child. And we pick those things up and we say, I was raised by good parents. I don't understand why my wife acts like this. And that maybe it's you who's nervous because of something that happened when you were young. And this other woman comes to the prophet because the child, there's something wrong with the child. 1963, be not afraid. And he says, it's your little boy, that's right. You believe God can tell me what is trouble? She says, yes. You believe it? Yes, I will, she says. He's nervous. It's caused from a scare. A dog scared him, that's right. He's going to get all right. You see how these things, you can pick something and it can affect you later on in life. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 23, Genesis chapter 37, I have a few examples from the Bible, but I don't think that we'll have enough time to go through them. Genesis chapter 37, of course. Verse number 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. You see, a parental choice that we can make. He loved Joseph more than all his children. Now there's a reason why he did this. Being a prophet, he knew, you know, because the generations of Jacob are Joseph. You know, it doesn't mention the other ones. So there was a reason why. But however, it's very important how the other children in the family perceived this. Because they looked at the father and said, he loves Joseph more than all of us. And on top of that, he made him a coat of many colors. Something his brothers didn't have. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. You see, I mean, I think Jacob was a pretty good parent. Well-meaning, loved his sons. But he didn't realize something was going on in the family. That the other children hate this other boy because of my treatment of this child. So they picked up something too from the family. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And he was wondering, what's wrong with these boys? They don't speak to my son correctly. Not knowing that he is the one who's architected this thing, you know. And Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren. He was innocent. He's just dreaming a dream and he tells it. And they hated him yet the more. Now we can go on and read a lot of the things that happened here. And then he dreams another dream about the sun and the moon and the stars. And he told it, and the brethren envied him. Yeah? Where did it end? It came to a place when they saw him afar off in verse 18. Even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Choices that they were making based on what they perceived was father's favoritism. It affected them to a place where they said, we are going to kill him. And they really meant it. If it wasn't for the brother, Reuben, who said, don't do that. Let's put him into this ditch. And when they put him in a ditch and he was crying out for them, they were sitting out there outside, eating and having a good time. You see what can happen to us when we pick things from our childhood. Now, I don't know what other example to use here. Maybe next week we will speak about Tamar, daughter of David, when her brother forced himself upon her. And you can see how the son, the brother of this girl, reacted to this. Because David did nothing about it. Can you imagine? And I think David was a good parent because Solomon speaks about David. Say, my father taught me all these things. He was a good father. I don't think he meant to neglect his daughter and the hurt that was caused, but Absalom definitely went on to murder his brother because of this. Now, let's use the example of David himself in 1 Samuel 16, and we'll close there. 1 First Samuel chapter 16. Is it? Oops. What's wrong here? I think I've got my scriptures wrong. It's actually 1 Samuel 17. The one in 16 is when the prophet came to anoint the next king, and David wasn't there. Why did they not bring David there, and what effect that had on his life, we don't know. But in verse 28 of chapter 17, David has been sent on an errand to bring some victuals for his brothers that are at the war front. And he comes, and the father says, go inquire how they are doing. And he hears about Goliath and all his boast that he was making, and David begins to find out from people around him, what's going on here? What shall be done to the man that shall defeat this one? And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. This is the older brother, very angry with his young brother. And he said, why comest down thither? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Say, you are fit only to herd those few sheep. What are you doing here? I know thy pride. He says, I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart. Can you imagine the older brother speaking these things to a young boy like him? You know, what does it mean when somebody says, I know your pride? I know how you think highly of yourself. That's what you are saying to him. I know how you think highly of yourself or of your false confidence. And the naughtiness of your heart, I know the wickedness of your heart. This is the brother. So if he is saying that, I know you are a prideful man and the naughtiness of your heart, what else was happening at home for him to come to this conclusion? You can see here that he didn't even know his brother very well, because David had killed a lion. It wasn't a false pride. He had killed a bear. It wasn't a false pride. But you can see how these things can happen even among siblings with a good parent. And they can say things like this to one another. And if it's not dealt with, we carry it with us into adulthood. No wonder the prophet says, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, don't think about getting married, because you can make hell on earth for others.
Amen.
So let's see next week then how these things affect us when they happen in our childhood and we carry them into adulthood. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful yet again for your grace this morning. We thank you for a beautiful day, Lord. Father, even as we now go into another section of the service, we pray that you bless us with these heavenly songs, that we would sing them, Lord, and make a heavenly atmosphere down here. Father, we need you to come, Lord, and speak to us, Lord, in the preaching of the word. So we want to commit that into your hands. Bless our pastor now as we wait on you. Lord, may you anoint him and anoint us, the hearers, Lord, that your name would be glorified at the end of the day today. We commute our musicians into your hands. Use them mightily this morning, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.